right, let's be going to Genesis chapter 2, if you will. We'll be beginning in verse 18 in just a moment. I had previously talked about what the Bible says about marriage after the Supreme Court ruling, and I hit that pretty heavy with what the Bible says against same-sex marriage. But tonight's going to be a little different in that regards. I'll mention that a little bit, but it's going to be not so much directed in that way. But I do feel that we need to remember that this nation was doomed by two rulings by the Supreme Court, one on abortion and one on same-sex marriage. And I'm telling you, church, it's not going to get any better. And so we need to batten down the hatches and get ready for the Lord's return in that regard. And so Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, biblical marriage. Why did God create male and female? Let's stand in honor of God's word. And let's begin in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. And the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone." Now, up to this point, everything God had created was good. He said it was good. It's not that God made a mistake. It's not that he forgot something. He had not yet completed his creation. He said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him." And out of the ground, the Lord formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. See, Adam wasn't a caveman, okay? Y'all got that? He was able to speak just like we speak. Probably better, perfect English. I don't know if it was King James, but he was able to speak correctly. And the Bible says, "And brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof." Now, God left the naming of the animals up to Adam because he had told him earlier that you're going to have dominion over creation. And Adam gave names to all cattle. Now, the cattle there is, in the Hebrews, talking about all kind of land animals. "And to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. And he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, 'This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called,'" whoa, man, right? "Because she was taken out of man. Therefore, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife." That word cleave there means to be joined. This is the first of the marriage institution right here. "And they shall be one flesh." Okay? Remember this now, when the wedding ceremony is over, the marriage is consummated with a one flesh relationship. That's what he's talking about there. By the way, if any of you are uncomfortable with what I'm going to say tonight, wouldn't you rather hear it from the Word of God than some sex education class at school? Am I not right? All right. Because don't let me scare you. We're not going to go too deep here. "And they were both naked, and the man and his wife, and were not ashamed." That's amazing, isn't it? "When they ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, they were ashamed," remember? And God had to later clothe them with the animal skins. I find it quite really sad that they were both naked and were not ashamed. Now today, people are naked and they're still not ashamed, right? It's amazing. Father, I pray you teach us from your word tonight about what this verse says about marriage. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. So in our text, God, we see the institution of marriage when Jesus affirms Genesis chapter 2. In Matthew chapter 19, he quotes the same verses. So Jesus affirmed biblical marriage here. And before I get into this chosen text tonight to share, I want to share with you what I ran across. Somebody said this might be the top 10 lines that Adam said to his wife Eve when he saw her. Number 10, "You know you're the only one for me." And the people said, okay. Number nine, I forgot, Rex. I was supposed to preach and y'all was supposed to listen, okay? Number nine, do you come here often? Number eight, trust me, this was meant to be. Now, y'all can laugh anytime you want to, okay? How about this? Look around, all the other guys are animals. Number six, I already feel like you're part of me. Number five, honey, we were made for each other. Number four, why don't you come to my place and hang out? Rex, you can laugh out loud, Brother Rex. You don't have to hold it back. Number three, you're the girl of my dreams. Genesis 2:21, he was in a deep sleep. How about this one? Number two, I like a girl who doesn't mind being ribbed. That one got Keaton. And number one, you have to understand what happened later. He said, you're the apple of my eye. But in Genesis 1 and 2, we see the creation. A man did not evolve. Evolution is a figment of their imagination. It's a lie to suppress the truth that there is a God. And you see in Genesis 1 and 2, the creation by God. And now he picks up in chapter 2 and goes deeper into the creation of man and woman. So in Genesis 2, 18 through 25, teaches us much about marriage. And I want to share these things with you. I didn't put them on the board tonight, but I'm just going to state them to you. They're very simple. They're not profound at all. But number one, God instituted marriage. God instituted marriage. And look again in verse 18, if you will. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. And then later down in verse 21 and 22, we see the first wedding ceremony. And he formed Eve, a woman, out of the rib of man, healed up the flesh thereof, and he fashioned and he built a woman for Adam. And then he joined them together. God instituted marriage. Now, we know that God defined marriage here in the text in Genesis. And what we believe, if you're a young earth creationist like I am, you believe the earth probably is no more than 8,000 years old. 6,000 is what many believe. And it's probably here in Genesis 2, probably around 4,000 B.C. And it's no later than 8,000 B.C. But here God defines marriage before any of the activist judges wearing black robes did. Amen? He defines it right here. Now, they're trying to redefine it, and we know all the reasons they're trying to do that. But God instituted marriage, not man. God instituted. It is God that says who can be married to each other and be within the biblical confines, right? And not man. If you leave it up to man, what do I hear now? I hear already, since same-sex marriage, they're trying to marry two men or two women, or a man wants to marry his dog or his cat, or, I mean, where does it stop? You know, as long as the Supreme Court says, well, they have a constitutional right to dignity, then dignity becomes whatever you want it to be, right? And so we're not going down the right road. Of course, the Bible said we wouldn't anyway. So marriage is an institution of God, not man. Now, it's true that man used to carry out the laws of marriage in line with the Bible and through the state laws and the county laws and all that. You would go and the preacher would say, I marry you by the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the laws of the state of Georgia. But, you know, it's going to be hard to do that when you try to do two men or two women. You know, that's ain't going to work out. And they're already trying to come into our churches, and they will try to come in, and they will pressure our hands. Y'all pray for Franklin Graham. He's really on the front line of this thing, and he's taking a lot of heat. And so y'all remember him in your prayers. So God instituted marriage. Number two, God intended marriage to be monogamous. Now, that's a big word, for one man, one wife, for a lifetime. Look in verse 24. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and that word doesn't mean that you don't have anything else to do with them, because one of the commandments is that you're to honor your mother and father, but you have a new family unit now, and you shall cleave unto his wife, you shall be joined unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. A monogamous relationship, the Bible says, Notice something in verse 24 there. I didn't even ever catch it till I was reading this week. He says, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother. And I thought about that thing in a minute. Adam and Eve didn't have a mother and a father, right? So he's talking to us, right? Looking forward, this is a commandment for all ages, not just for them, okay? And that's one of the ways you know how to interpret the Bible. Is that promise conditional just for that certain person, or does it for all ages? In context, we'll let you know that. And then number three, God intended marriage to be heterosexual. In verse 22, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. He didn't make another man, right? He brought and made a woman. So male and female God created. Let me read this to you. Remember, you can go back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. I told you it was going to be very simple tonight. Go back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And God said, let us, the Holy Trinity. The Holy Trinity existed in the Old Testament, regardless of what the cults want to say. Let us, it couldn't be angels he's talking to, because he says, make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth. Let me say right here that we as Christians should take care of God's creation, but we should never worship it, right? We should never let creation rule us and say, well, we can't build that highway down that road because there's a red dartered snail pecker in that tree right there, you know? We are to have dominion over God's creation. Verse 27, so God created man in his own image, and in the image of God, and that basically means that we're triune beings, we can have relationship with him. In the image of God created him, male and female created them. Sometimes I watch Bill O'Reilly, and he has a section on there called Waters World, and he goes out and talks to people and asks them questions they should know if they went to school. And I'm telling you, some of the people he interviews look like they just come back from Mars. I mean, they don't even look like they're from this planet. And verse 28, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth, or fill the earth. Now, this is how we know this promise is not for us to go out and have 20 babies, okay? This promise was to Adam and Eve, right? Y'all get that? It's not for everybody to go out and just keep having kids you can't afford, right? He says, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. God intended marriage to be heterosexual. Marriage is between one man and one woman. And regardless of what the Supreme Court says, we must take our stand with God's word and stand on God's word and obey God's word and not compromise. There's all I have heard and I've read about apostate denominations and liberal denominations that are already compromising in this regard. The United Methodist Church in 2016 is going to take an official vote if they're going to perform gay marriages and allow gay members to be active in their church. Now, I mean, why do you even have to vote on it? Somebody tell me that. Why do you even have to vote on it? And if they do that, then people need to get out of that denomination as fast as they can and go somewhere that preaches the gospel. So marriage is intended to be for heterosexuals. Number four, marriage involves physical union. In verse 24 again, therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. One flesh in the Bible here is speaking none other than a physical union that happens after the marriage ceremony. Jesus talked some about this in Matthew 19, verses 4 and 5. And he answered and said unto them, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? And said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Man has made sex something ugly, but God has blessed and beautified sex within the confines of the marriage, husband and wife. But the world takes it The Bible speaks of it not as an erotic way or not lustful way that they're doing it today, but it speaks of a God-blessed relationship between a man and a woman that God has blessed. But the world has perverted what God has made pure, and they have redefined sex. And I'm telling you, I'm not as old as some of you here, or at least two of you, but three of you. I looked at Larry, but I'm not as old as some of you. But I know in the last 10 years, especially in the last 7 years since our great president has been in office, I have never seen such a moral slide in America, right? I'm seeing commercials that you wouldn't even see at the movies, right? I know a man today that won't go to Hardee's because of their commercials. You know, I mean, and we got to refigure that, David. We got to think on that hard, right? But, you know, you just see it, and you just, nothing's left to the imagination, right? And I mean, wow, it's unbelievable, right? I just can't believe it. But marriage involves a physical union. He's ordained marriage. The sex within the confines of marriage, anything outside of that is sin. Now, guess what? The ceremony happens. The one flesh relationship happens. And the baby in the womb is that product of a one flesh relationship. Okay? Within the confines of marriage. Number five. The husband is the head of the wife. Say, uh-oh, preacher, I didn't know you were going to go there tonight. I wouldn't have come. The husband is the head of the wife. Look again in verse 18. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet. So who was created first? The man. Adam. And then Eve was created. God created Adam before Eve and created Eve for Adam. Okay? And then you'll see that also in verses 21 and 22. I want you to see something. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, if you will. We'll look at verses 8 and 9. Then we're going to go to another text in 1 Timothy. The husband is head of the wife. Now, that doesn't mean to be a domineering way. It doesn't mean that he rules over her. That's not what it's talking about at all. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 8 and 9. When you get there, say amen. Okay. All right, all of you got your Bibles? All right. 1 Corinthians 11, 8 and 9. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. He's talking about head covering, and that's basically talking about submission. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. Now, I want you to go over to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13. And we're going to look at that verse that tells us why the man is the head of the wife. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Now, feminists don't like this because they don't like the Bible anyway, and they don't believe what the Bible says. But even Christians in our churches have a hard problem with this biblical principle. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13. I want you to see it. Okay? You might want to jot this verse down sometime, 1 Corinthians 14, 35, 36, 37. But anyway, right now we're on 1 Timothy chapter 2. Are you there? Now, what this passage is talking about, they were doing things wrong in the church. Paul's telling Timothy to set things right. And one of the things they had was they had outspoken women in the church that were teaching the Word of God when men were present. Okay? That's a no-no. That's a violation of Scripture. He says, let the woman learn in silence and all subjection, but I suffer not, I allow not a woman to teach, nor usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. Now, Titus tells us that she can teach women and other children. But here Paul is saying, I permit not a woman to teach. The woman is not to get up with the authority of God's word and proclaim God's word, exposit God's word when a man or men are present. We here at Trinity, we don't have women teaching men. Women teach women and women teach children. Anything other than that is a violation of Scripture here. But notice what it says in verse 12, but I suffer not a woman to teach. And that was what was going on in the church there in Ephesus. But he says, nor, so he's talking about something else, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. So not only are they not to teach men, they're not to lead a ministry with men under them, okay? And then he goes on, verse 13, why? Was Paul a bigot? Did Paul hate women? No, no. He treated women better than the ISIS does. Paul treated women better than the liberal Democrats treat them, right? But notice what it says in verse 13. For Adam was formed first, and then Eve. See, it's just a matter of created order. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in transgression. Now, she was deceived. Adam stood by. If you look at Genesis 3, saw his wife take the fruit, and he didn't exercise headship. And she subverted his ministry, was deceived, and took of the fruit. And being deceived was in transgression. But it is the sin nature that's passed down from Adam to us, not the woman. Okay? Now, the feminist movement today is a perversion of God's order and design. I want you to notice something in verse 22. Go back to Genesis chapter 2, verse 22. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. Now, I believe this actually happened. I believe there was a rib taken from Adam to form a woman. I can't count my ribs. Maybe you can. I'm a little bit too fat around the midsection, so I can't count my ribs, but I'm sure I've got one less than my wife's got, right? Have you ever counted your ribs? Anybody here? Okay. Well, that's our homework. Count your ribs. Okay. Look at that word made there in verse 22. He took the rib out, performed divine surgery, didn't need any all those assistants, and you didn't get a $5,000 hospital bill, right? And he closed it up thereof. And it says he made woman. That word made there means to fashion or build or built. He took that rib out of Adam, and he fashioned it, and he built a woman. Now, Adam came from the dust of the earth, okay? So did the animals, okay? But Eve came from the rib of man, the side of man. Now, I thought about this, and I said, man, I don't know if I should use that or not, but one of Adam's first words were, she's my prime rib. Right? When he saw her. Now, the Hebrew word for woman is Isha. I-S-H. The Bible goes on to tell us S-H-A-A. Isha. Okay? Y'all hold on here now a minute. The Hebrew word for man is Ish. She was taken out of man. Isha was taken out of Ish. Okay? So y'all hang with me now. Two Ishes or two Ishas can't make an Ish and an Isha. Okay? Are you with me? No matter how much they try, they can't make a man. You ever notice in gay marriage or sodomite marriage, two women, two lesbians, always one of them takes the male role. You ever notice that? Maybe you're not observing it as I am. But one of them's got to take the male role. But yet, see, how stupid is that? Yeah, usually. Yeah. How big is my hair? I don't know. But you can tell kind of acting more like a man. So even they know we need a man, right? Are you with me? You see how perverse it is? And it gets even perverser if you find out more. But two Ishes and two Ishas can't make an Ish and an Isha, right? So it's... You know, they know it's not right. They were not born that way, right? We don't believe that. Did you know that homosexuality used to be listed in the medical book as a disease? You know, a mental illness, really. You know, did you know that? Well, number six, the woman is to be the husband's helpmeet, and you see that in verses 18 through 24, but especially. Let's go back to verse 18. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet. Now, he created all the animals, and he told Adam to name them. God marched them across in front of Adam, and Adam named every animal, and what he named them, they still got today. Okay? You with me? He was not a caveman. He didn't have to learn how to talk. He was a Some Bible scholars believe that Adam and Eve were about 30 years old, maybe. And we can't prove that from Scripture. But one thing we do know, and me and Larry was talking about this over lunch, is that they were perfect human specimens. There wasn't a flaw in their body, okay? And look at it again here. But he says, God didn't make a mistake and said, I forgot something. He wasn't through yet, right? He wanted Adam to name the animals because he had dominion over the animals, right? But a funny thing happened here. The animals were taken out of the ground just as man was. Man is not an animal. He's a higher creation. And the liberals and the evolutionists tell us that we're nothing more than an animal, that he's evolved a little more than someone else. And human life is not important, so because man's an animal, right? But the only big difference is God didn't breathe into animals a living soul like he did Adam that can relate to him and commune with him. See, we're higher than the animals, okay? And I get a little upset when people put the animals higher than them. Now, I've seen some people where it probably was true, but the animals came or created on the fifth and the sixth day. And after the last animal was created, on the same day, God created man, okay? On the sixth day as well here. So we have no kinship with the animals. Yes, there's some we have lungs and all that kind of stuff. There's some similarities, but we're not an animal. Don't let anybody tell you that in school. You are the crown of God's creation, okay? And so this helper here, he says man needs a helper. So here's Adam. The animals are coming by. And he's supposed to name all of them. And Adam's not stupid. He created naked. He knows what he looks like. And these animals are marching by Adam. And he pairs them up. He gives them the name, right? He sees how they fit together, right? But when he gets through, he doesn't see any animal that is comparable or suitable or corresponding to him, right? Are y'all with me? Boy, it would have been bad if Adam had chosen to be out of God's will and hooked up with a female gorilla, right? I don't know what we would have had then. We might have come from monkeys, but we didn't. God didn't hook up with a monkey, right? And Adam wasn't a monkey when he was created, okay? But he saw right away, hey, something here is not right. All these other animals got pairs, but I'm alone. There's nobody that I have seen that I can relate to, right? And God said, it's not good that man shall be alone. So out of the rib, he formed woman. And woman was now his helpmeet. She was comparable to him. She was suitable to him. As one writer says, she was his corresponding part. All right? I don't have to get too deep here. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? And but the helper here does not mean a servant, okay? It doesn't mean that the woman is inferior to the man. Both man and woman are created equal in essence. But there are different roles and different functions. Okay? And you would see that in the church, right? But also in the home. Doesn't mean the woman is inferior, but she's a helpmeet, suitable to him. Both of them carrying out God's will and God's plan for their life. Not one more inferior than the other, because they're both equal in the eyes of God. Okay? Now, if people don't understand that, they're going to be a male chauvinist pig, right? Faye and I are equal in essence, but there's different roles, right? And we need to understand that. And that's what's happening to our society today, church, and with this female feminist movement. Women are doing things that God intended for men to do, okay? And you even got men doing things that God intended to do, right? It's perversion. It's not right. Did you hear they were going to experiment with females in the Marines, and they all flunked through the boot camp? And even now the Pentagon is trying to get transgenders into the Pentagon, right? Would you like to be in the next war in the foxhole next to somebody you don't know whether they're a female or a male, right? You know, they'll change the slogan. We need a few good men. They'll change it until we need a few good transgenders or something. I don't know. But see, it's a perversion of God's creation. It's not liberation, it's sin, okay? So the woman is to be the husband's helpmeet. This word here, helpmeet, speaks of the same thing that the Holy Spirit does for us. He said, I promise you a helper to come after I'm gone, and this, he will help you, he will teach you. This is the same thing he's talking about for believers. He's our helper. And husband and wife, co-equal, carrying out God's will. Now, we're all different. Men are different than women. What's that old book? Men are from Mars, women are from Venus. Right? Women are different. Women are nesters, right? Right? They want everything tidy in the house. And we men, you know, we just, you know, the wife comes home and said, I've had a bad day. In fact, they don't tell you they had a bad day. They just look like they had a bad day. And you said, honey, what happened? And then she begins to tell you, right, what happened. And I'm learning. I'm 64 years old, but I'm beginning to learn. She doesn't want me to fix that problem for her. She just wants me to listen. Me, I say, go down there and tell them a good peace of mind. Tell them you ain't coming back. Or do it this way. Fix it this way. But they're not that way, right? Y'all see what I'm talking about? Okay, well, you're missing the boat somewhere, all right? But they're nesters. They just want to unload on you. I come home and, you know, I just got my routine. You know, I go to the store. I go right where I'm going because I know what I want, right? I'm not a feely-touchy thing going through all through the store and picking up everything. You know, we men know right away what we want, right? Now, y'all don't have to be quiet tonight because you're afraid of getting in trouble. I'll get in trouble for you, okay? I'll take your cross. Man, I go into a store, I don't lollygag, and I don't look for it. I ask the clerk, and if she's unfriendly to me, I go somewhere else, right? But the helpmeet is what he's talking about here. To compliment him, to make him complete, to help him carry out what God has intended. Now, she's a woman, and she needs her time. She needs her space. She needs her interests as well. It's not that the woman now does everything the man wants to do, because sometimes the man's going to have to do what the woman wants to do. Are y'all with me? Man, why is it so quiet in here tonight? Huh? I haven't said anything that's not in the scriptures. Right? But this is a hard thing. We work at this, right? We work at this. Okay. After church, Linda, you tell me why they're so quiet. Okay. So the same-sex marriage is... Now listen to this. The same-sex marriage, and same-sex marriage, if you can call it that, only one is needed because both are alike. The other one's unnecessary, right? Are you with me? I mean, think about it. There's no way around it. They have to adopt. They have to either have some kind of artificial means, but they cannot produce, in a one-flesh relationship, they cannot produce offspring, right? When they do that, I'm moving to Australia, right? See how stupid it is? They don't meet the helpmeet criteria, right? This is what makes same-sex so abominable, and I stand by it, and I looked at it, I researched it. There are some sins that are more abominable than others. And sexual perversion is one of them. It perverts God's design and purpose of creation and perverts his marriage and design. So what do you do? When you run across somebody that's going to a church and says, well, God's for love, and as long as they love each other, say, pooey, let me tell you what the Bible says, okay? And that's what you do. Don't be quiet. Speak up on these matters here. After a sermon like tonight, we don't need an altar call, so let's just bow our heads, okay? Father, I pray you give us the courage and the knowledge to defend what your book says about all matters, just not marriage and just not the perversion of same-sex marriage and transgender, but that we have the courage to speak up and say, you know, in a nice way and say, well, what about this? Let me tell you what the Bible says. As a Christian, this is what I believe. And I was so proud of John Smoltz today and his induction ceremony that gave Christ the credit at the end. And I appreciate that. And I appreciate what he said about baseball and youth baseball. And I appreciate that as well. So, Father, I just pray you give us the words to speak. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.